This is 89.9 WWNN. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a celebration of modern dance, a hunt for rare music, or a unique concert celebrating Persisters during Women's History Month, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. It's been nearly a decade since the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater of New York rolled into town. The New Orleans Ballet Association, NOBA, presents the return of the legendary modern dance company as it makes a Crescent City stop on its 21-city American tour celebrating 60 years of African-American culture through dance. We caught up with artistic director Robert Battle by phone. Hello, Robert.
Hi.
What a milestone, 60 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's really quite incredible.
What excites you as you carry the mantle of the late Alvin Ailey?
What excites me are the dancers. They just get better and better. You know, I have 32 of the most remarkable performers in the world. And to see the joy that they give to audiences all over the country and all over the world is wonderful. And we're just looking forward to be back in New Orleans to do the same thing.
Let's talk a little bit about Alvin Ailey. How did he change the country's dance landscape, and how are you moving his legacy to a new level?
Well, Alvin Ailey was born in 1931 in Rogers, Texas, raised by a single mother. We eventually moved him to Los Angeles because she wanted more opportunity for herself and for her son. Eventually, his good friend Carmen de Lavalle got him interested in dance, and he studied under Lester Horton, his mentor. He came to New York, and he didn't see the opportunities that he wanted to see for dancers of color on the concert dance stage. So he founded the company on the brink of the Civil Rights Movement in 1958. So that in a way, the movement represents what this company is all about. He left the company to Judith Jamison, and I'm only the third artistic director. But one of the most important things that he did was create a work called Revelation that we usually close the program with. It's a suite of spirituals that expresses the experiences of African Americans in this country and how faith has played such a major part in our surviving the atrocities of hate. But it turns out that it's a universal message of hope. And so that accessibility that he brought to concert dance, to modern dance, I think is very, very important, which is why our audience is so vast.
Now, you are celebrating in New Orleans with two completely different main stage programs. Let's talk about each one. What will audiences experience as the curtain rises?
We always try to think about past, present, and future. One program, we start off with a work by Tally Beatty. It's a fabulous choreographer. I mean, he's no longer with us, but the work is a classic. It's called Stack Up, which is about the urban landscape of Los Angeles back in the day, and kind of about how these different segments of the community collide and are stacked up on top of each other and what that creates. The story, it's got drama, it's got humor, it's wonderful. And a new work called The Call. And that work was created by a brilliant choreographer, Ronald K. Brown. And The Call was his way of thanking Alvin Ailey as we look at 60 years, thanking him for taking the call, spiritually speaking, and starting this company so that people like him and myself and others can tell their story around the world. And then because we're very much interested in social justice, which is a cornerstone of modern dance and certainly the Ailey Company, we're doing a work called Shelter. And that work has to do with homelessness, and it's by a wonderful choreographer, Jaole Willa Joe Zolar. It's really quite brilliant because not just thinking about shelter as a structure, but also it looks at climate change and all of the things that will affect us all, no matter what we have in the bank. Then, of course, we close with Revelations, one of the most popular dances ever created that people come to see again and again. I'm excited about the other program, though, because one of the things that is a tradition is finding talent from within in terms of choreographic offering. And so I chose Jamal Roberts, who's a brilliant dancer with the company, to create a new work for the company. And that work is called Members Don't Get Weary. And the music is John Coltrane. I'm very excited for that because when I think of New Orleans, I think of jazz and the appreciation of jazz. And this is a brilliant work. And then also on that end, there's a work called Ella, which is a tribute to the wonderful Ella Fitzgerald,
This is one of your works?
Yeah, this is a solo that I created to her scat singing airmail special. It's short, but I think really captures her essence in a wonderful and brilliant way, if I do say so myself. And also, my first work for the company was a work called Juba that I created in 2000 at the invitation of Judith Jamison, who has been artistic director. And Juba really is a metaphor for the company. It's the notion that you use your body as an instrument, either by, you know, patting, clapping your hands, shuffling your feet. The tenacity of the human spirit is really what Juba is all about. And then the last work on that program is called En, E-N, which is a Japanese word for circle, coming full circle, choreographed by Jessica Lang. In a way, full circle really is what we're thinking about a lot now as we have turned 60 years of this company, and that it continues. Alvin Ailey died in 1989, but death didn't have the final word because his legacy lives within all of us and all of you who come to see the company.
What do you think Founding Father Alvin Ailey would think of this 60th anniversary celebration?
I think he would be thrilled to know that we're honoring the past, but that we are steadfast moving into the future, and it seems like we're just beginning.
Alvin Ailey, American Dance Theater Artistic Director Robert Battle, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The New Orleans Ballet Association, NOBA, presents the return of the iconic Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater for two completely different main stage performances, March 22nd and 23rd, 8 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. Here's a heads up for lovers of classical music and opera. The Symphony Book Fair is holding a special event. It's a pop-up sale that could enrich your collection of music as well as books. LPO volunteer and New Orleans Opera Associate Philip Stroud is here with the highlights. Philip, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane. I'm glad to be here.
The Symphony Book Fair usually happens a little later in the year. How did the idea for this pop-up event come about?
Actually, what happened is at the warehouse we have on Oak Street uptown, we received a massive donation, thousands of CDs and DVDs and vinyl records of classical music and especially opera. Because of my background with the New Orleans Opera Association, having served on the board of that association for a number of years, the people at LPO said, Phil, why don't you take a look at what we've got and see if it's worth it? I went through it and found some absolute gems, and we talked about it and decided that we would try a different approach rather than just having a massive selection of stuff at the big sale at the end of May and beginning of June. We would try a pop-up sale at the warehouse at 8605 Oak, where we would just concentrate on that donation of CDs of opera and vinyl opera and see what would happen with a pop-up sale. So that's what we're doing.
You have curated quite a collection for this event. Where did the materials come from and how did you go about organizing the items?
Donations come from all over the city, from different people. And what I did was quite literally go through box after box after box after box after box of CDs of opera and classical music and said, yeah, there are some special items in here. We ought to do something special for this.
So what can collectors look forward to? Tell us about the experience.
We will have tables full of CDs and books and vinyl with every opera composer you could think of, literally from A to Z. We have John Adams on the A side and Alexander Zemlinsky on the Z side. There's an extensive collection of almost every composer you could think of. Bellini, Verdi, Wagner, Rossini, Mozart, they're all there.
So tell us about some of the gems that we will find, some of the highlights that are being offered.
It was really interesting because going through all of this stuff, I found things that I did not expect. For example, there is one item that I went, now this is exceedingly strange, but it should go with opera because it's Kiri Takanawa singing Paul McCartney's Liverpool Oratorio. Unusual because I've never seen it. Yeah. I've never seen it. I've never heard it. On the absolute other end of that spectrum, we have Bastien and Bastienne, Mozart's early opera, Kirchhoff 50, written when he was 12. We have that and tons of things in between, and a number of things that have a great deal of local interest. Many people in New Orleans know or have heard about Norman Traigle. One of the items I found was a production of Mephistopheles with Norman Traigle. And for those people who are really, really admirers of Maria Callas, we have tons of Maria Callas on vinyl and on CD. It seems to me, and you may agree, that vinyl seems to be making a comeback.
Yes.
We're seeing vinyl players being sold now. And so we're hoping that some people out there will really get a fix, a musical fix, from seeing the vinyl collections that we've got.
You also have some Disney works?
Yes, there was one that we found. It's a vinyl. The original recording of Fantasia. Ooh. With the original Disney liner notes and artwork. Because of the number of things that I have found while curating this massive collection that we've got, we're going to have a special section that will be called Phil's Finds. And in there, you will find the Traigle, you will find some of the Callas, you will find the Disney, you will find the McCartney Oratorio, and the Bastien and Bastien, and some of the really other interesting things that we found.
Now, in addition to the extraordinary CDs and LPs, I see you also have books and memoirs.
Books about opera, memoirs by some of the great performers. I think we even have a memoir by Maria Callas. And in addition to that, we have libretti for tons of different operas, scores, both vocal and full orchestral, and some of them are even signed. Now, I couldn't tell whether it was an original signature or a copied signature, but it's the signature of Giuseppe Verdi in one of his libretti. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to collectors.
Now, how long did it take you to put this collection together?
It took me probably 3 to 4 months of working through all of that collection to find what we had. So 3 or 4 months of 8 hours a week. So it's a fair amount of work.
And you had some help from the volunteers?
Oh, yes, yes.
Now tell me, where do the proceeds go from the sale?
100% of the proceeds go directly to the Louisiana Philharmonic. The LPO volunteers, over the course of a year, will end up donating something north of $100,000 to the LPO.
Wow.
The two largest sources of that gift to the LPO are the book fair, which will be May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd at the UNO Arena. And the other source is the Encore Shop on Maple Street Uptown, where high-quality women's clothing is consigned and resold. Those two are the largest sources. Then the LPO volunteers do a whole bunch of other things, but those are the two biggies.
Now, when you look at a collection like the one you've just curated for this pop-up event, what does a collection like that tell you about our community?
Our community loves music. Music is in the soul of this city. There's a type of music for every soul in this city, and there is a soul in this city for every type of music that's offered.
LPO volunteer and New Orleans Opera associate Philip Stroud, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
The Symphony Book Fair will hold a pop-up sale of opera and classical music recordings on Saturday, March 23rd at 8605 Oak Street from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. More info at symphonyvolunteers.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The power of art, music, and storytelling come together in Per Sisters in Song, a free concert inspired by the stories of Louisiana's formerly incarcerated women. The concert is in celebration of Women's History Month in conjunction with the exhibit Per Sister, now on view at Tulane's Newcomb Art Museum. A mix of local musicians will perform new songs inspired by the women in the exhibit. Event spokeswoman Miriam Taylor and singer-songwriter Margie Perez are here. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Hi.
So how are you harnessing the power of art to celebrate Women's History Month? Miriam?
We have a social media campaign where we're talking about five women artists, asking everyone to name five women artists or five women artists of color. We are inviting people to come into our exhibit, which tells the stories of 30 formerly incarcerated women through the power of art. And then we also have this concert where we have six musicians who are going to perform brand new pieces inspired by women.
So let's talk about the women in the exhibit, Per Sister. Who are they?
They have a collective theme that we need to talk about how issues that face women that are incarcerated are different than issues that are facing men.
For example?
80% of women who are incarcerated are mothers. This is a conversation we don't talk about that often. And so in the gallery, each of our rooms are dedicated to a specific issue. One of them is root causes of female incarceration. Another one is the impact of incarcerating mothers. The third is the physical and behavioral health toll of incarcerating women and how that's different because women's bodies are different. And the last one are opportunities and challenges of reentry. And what does it look like for a woman when she's let out of prison or jail in Louisiana? What is there for her next?
Do we have high rates of incarceration?
We do. Louisiana was formerly known as the incarceration capital of the world. Thanks to new legislation, we're not number one, but we're still number two, and not in the states, in the world. We have the 19th highest incarceration rate for women. And the incarceration rate for women has increased over 800% in the last 40 years. It's an issue we need to be talking about, and we're just not quite often doing that.
What does the name Per Sister refer to?
The idea of a woman persisting, and not just getting through day by day, but persisting and thriving. And then in the title, we talk about sisterhood, because that's part of what this is. When women are incarcerated, they're taken away from one family, and then they have another family within the carceral state. But then when they get released again, they have to leave that family behind. And all of the women who are featured in the show have started to call themselves Per Sisters, and they've developed a family outside of the gallery.
Now, Margie, as you walk through the gallery, tell us which of the women's stories inspired you to create your new song.
Well, first I heard Per Sister Kim's story, a woman who spent 9 years in prison, and she had two daughters. And so in those 9 years, her daughters were growing up, and she initially, the first time she got in trouble, she was 16 years old. And now one of her daughters is approaching that age. So now that she's out, she's trying to get back into life, but she's also trying to catch up with her daughter's hope, and her steadfast faith in God was what really inspired me to write the song. The song that I wrote is titled "Keep Your Head Up and Stay Prayed Up." You know, that's her motto.
Head up and stay prayed up. And the blessings will come to you. It all started at 16. She fell, and now she's back from a living hell. 9 years thinking about life. God kept her every day in the rays of his light. Two young daughters catching up to you.
In the song, I even say, you know, she wants to be an inspiration to these girls and look them in the eyes and tell them right from wrong. I was just so inspired by that that I thought, you know, she's going to make it. She's going to make it. And I just wanted to put that in song, her hope and her faith.
What was the path that she traveled that got her into trouble?
She started with stealing cars as a teenager, just, you know, doing pranks. And then eventually she went down the path of selling drugs and trusting the wrong people.
Too often we want to know just what happened or what is the crime without looking at the human. And I think that's one of the aspects of the show and of the music that we're trying to be really intentional with, is these are women, their stories are unique, and we need to look at the situations that are surrounding them as well. And what I think is really special about Margie's music and this particular story is that title, Keep Your Head Up and Stay Prayed Up. Every single one of these women, when they have come back into society, have been so positive.
I could not have written an unhopeful song. She said at one point she was listening to a song by Yolanda Adams with her daughters, and they were crying. So I listened to that Yolanda Adams song, And I made a little reference to it. There's a line in the song where they say, when I think about life. So I put in my song, 9 years thinking about life. So I wanted to kind of give them a little package, you know, like that's their thing. And in this song, I put their thing in it. I haven't talked to her about that, but I hope she gets it when she hears it. And I hope her daughters are there, because I would love to meet them and play this song for them, because this song is for them.
This is the first and only time that these will be performed live. So that's why it's such a unique and special event.
Who else will be performing?
5 other incredible women musicians. We have Lynn Drury, Sarah Quintana, Queen Colmadina, Spirit McIntyre, and Keith Porteous.
My song has a gospel chorus to it, so I've asked all the other performers to join me in the song, and so we're all going to be singing on each other's works. I'm really looking forward to it.
Pretty cool.
Persister in Song spokeswoman Miriam Taylor and singer-songwriter Margie Perez, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
And stay afraid of nothing to be afraid.
Newcomb Art Museum of Tulane will host Persister in Song, a free concert inspired by the stories of Louisiana's formerly incarcerated women, in celebration of Women's History Month, Friday, March 22nd at 6 p.m. at the Freeman Auditorium on Tulane's Uptown Campus.
Keep your head up, stay prayed up, and the blessings will come to you, and the blessings will come to you. And the blessings will come to you, and the blessings will come to you.
That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.